Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers. Each week, you'll hear how they navigate these fulfilling and challenging roles, how they make art and mother their children. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and now podcast host. I hope these interviews inspire and encourage you on your own journey as an artist and mother. Thanks for listening.
I value my time so much more, and I've learned to adapt. Being a mom has taught me to not waste time spending time painting things that I don't want to paint. If I'm going to be spending time in the studio, it better be something that I want to do.
I'm so pleased to welcome Cindy Rizza to the podcast. She is a classically trained representational oil painter who holds a BFA from New Hampshire Institute of Art. Cindy's work is collected internationally, and she has won numerous painting awards, including the Vermont Studio Center Artist Grant and the Best of Show Prize at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art annual juried national exhibition. Originally from Maine, Cindy now lives and works with her husband and two daughters in southern New Hampshire. Thanks so much for coming on, Cindy.
Thanks for inviting me. This is awesome.
Of course. I'm so excited to hear you talk. So if you can just, you know, get the ball rolling by giving us, just some high points along your journey as an artist. Like, were you an artist as a kid? Like, how did you, you know, kind of get to this, the point where you are now? Give us some background.
Sure. So I started out, like, I think like at age four, just really interested in art. So as long as I can remember, I've been painting and pursuing, like drawing, colored pencil. I remember like a watercolor kit that I found. My mom had actually hidden it up in a closet because she knew I was too young to use like tube watercolors. And I remember pulling it down, just looking at the tubes being like, this is like so fancy. And I want to get into this. So I have a lot of memories as a child, spending time in my room, learning about materials, doing a lot of drawing and painting from life. And then I did go on, like I took AP art in high school. I was very involved, I took like every art class I could. And then I went to art school. I actually started off at a state university, but realized I needed more, kind of more of a like higher ratio of studio courses. Mm-hmm. So then I transferred to the New Hampshire Institute of Art and got my BFA in 2007, mm-hmm. which is crazy thinking that's like 12 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. where did the time go? And then since then, like, after I graduated, I got a full-time job actually at the college doing recruitment. So I was traveling a lot and sort of like reviewing portfolios for high school students. But while I was traveling, you know, I would bring along my painting and I would bring along those projects, you know, during those trips that I would take. So it took me about like really 10 years of doing small work shows, showing at regional galleries, to really feel like I've sort of found my voice. So it's taken me a long time, but, I've always been drawn towards the arts.
That's great. And, you know, I think so many of us, like, we just assume that people know how to be a full-time artist right out of the gate, but like most of us work other jobs or do, you know, other things or have committed to a different career path for a long time and, you know, have that overlap of doing art late at night or early in the morning or, you know, on the weekend. So,
yeah, it's really, the Institute did a pretty good job, especially in my senior year of like really kind of, there's a course called The Professional Artist, and it really kind of laid out some honest truths about what it's like, you know, mm-hmm. pursuing a career in the arts. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, making a ton of money off the first paintings you sell. The first paintings you sell may be a couple hundred dollars if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. But it's about really shuffling your talents and balancing that in different sources. So, you know, I got a career like starting out reviewing portfolios for the school and, you know, getting health insurance and being able to pay my student loans like that. Right. That was sort of a way to balance that with my studio practice. But it didn't, I mean, it took a very long time and so many hours to really develop my portfolio and and my voice as an artist.
Right.
And it's always about like shuffling those responsibilities.
When you were working at New Hampshire Institute of Art, like what, I mean, I would love for you to tease out just how you found time to have a full-time job and paint. Like, did you, because at that point you hadn't had your daughters until later on in those 10 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
So can you just kind of talk about like, because I just know there's many listeners who struggle like feeling burnout at the end of the day if they have an 8 to 5 and, you know, like when did you actually paint?
So I was like dating my husband at the time. Mm-hmm. And so it, like we were living together, but like in the evenings I would like paint. Like that's how I would spend my evening time. So I would work 9 to 5, or if I was traveling on the road, I would be away from home. And then during the evenings, instead of like binging, you know, shows on TV, I would actually work. And it's, you really have to love it. Like it's, there's so much of it that is just grit. And the working through some of the frustrations and, you know, lessons along the way in the studio practice, like, you know, if something, a painting doesn't work out or it doesn't get the kind of feedback you were looking for, it's, you know, the love for the craft and the process is something that kind of keeps you going. It's almost like a drug.
Exactly.
And so in the evenings, like that's how I would spend my time. And it's because I really wanted to do it. And some evenings, you know, even now it's like, it's hard. I wish that I could lay down or like, well, maybe I should watch Netflix. And I turned down a lot of social opportunities during that time. And it's actually something my husband reminded me of. He's like, you know what, Cindy, you could have spent your time differently, but you have been working at this for, you know, very, very hard. And it's something I forget about sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to kind of remind myself, you know what? I did put in a lot of hours to get to where I am, and it's nice to kind of just like acknowledge that.
Yeah, that's great. I think we need more celebration and acknowledging of the hard work that it takes to get to where we are. And, you know, and wherever that point is along your journey, like celebrate it. Cause
yeah,
you know, if you don't like, if you keep moving forward and you forget about those times, like it almost sweetens the deal to recognize that.
It does. And I'm trying to do that because I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not worthy. Like I have this weird kind of like complex where it's like, maybe I didn't deserve this, but it's nice to kind of be like, no, I actually worked really hard at this. What am I saying? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So I guess I'm not saying it to brag. I'm just really saying it to kind of like acknowledge to myself that, you know, yes, I worked really hard and I could have been doing other things with my time. So that's really how I made it work with a full-time job. And with kids, it's a whole nother story, which we'll get to.
Yes. Okay. So can you, you know, if there's some listeners who have yet to see your paintings, you know, specifically the more recent work, can you just describe them for someone who, you know, might have not seen them before?
So I hate to kind of put myself in a box, but I'm a representational painter, so my paintings look very real. I paint with oil, and I also hate the term still lives because I feel like it's a very loaded term where someone's like, oh, so you paint like, you know, fruit?
Right.
No, I paint, most of my recent work is actually like kind of domestic textiles. So I paint like quilts and afghans. And I often paint stacks of them. And my recent work that I've been showing in New York is like focused on that. So, you know, I kind of think of myself as a figurative painter, which is somebody that paints the human form. It's definitely my favorite thing to paint. But I feel like I reached a point in my journey where I found that painting things kind of drip more in a human presence than actually painting people. I just like, I'm not interested in telling the whole story. So I find that because of the way that I paint, which is very real, you know, I don't want to reveal too much, and painting like a person sort of gives it an identity and almost sort of closes the door to a viewer. So I started painting still lives, really to like represent a human presence. And I find that, you know, if I have a gallery opening, people connect with those paintings. Like, you know, back when I was painting the figure too, people would really be drawn towards their own personal stories. When they look at my work, they say, oh, that reminds me of my grandmother. I always used to sleep under a blanket like that. Mm. So it tends to sort of allow the viewer to walk into the painting and kind of explore their own memories. So that's kind of my work in a nutshell.
Mm, that's great. Could you talk a little bit about, so to me, the most iconic, you know, quote unquote, image when I think of your work, other than the painting that you won Best in Show, which we'll get to later, is sort of a chair positioned like directly front and center portrait style with a stack of afghans and quilts. So it's not just one, it like there's multiple, usually like it looks like vintage sheets and, you know, a crocheted blanket. Could you talk about just the perspective? Like, why are there multiple? Why is it a stack? You know, like I just find that particular positioning very interesting, and would love to hear.
It's
you
very
about that.
Like it's very kind of like monumental and strange, and also strange for a composition to be so sort of like front and center. You know, it's weird. Like I've been looking back at some of my compositions just throughout my portfolio, and some are very almost like photographic and almost cropped in a very photographic, asymmetrical way. And some are like dead center. And it's, I feel like I'm trying to place importance to objects. I'm really drawn towards objects that represent comfort and security. And I'm trying to explore the sort of idea of how fragile we are, despite the ways in which we kind of buffer ourselves through the world. So, you know, I think of like blankets or the act of making a quilt or an afghan, which is, you know, takes a tremendous amount of time. And not only is the form beautiful, but it provides like physical comfort and security. And I kind of think of these like Nana stacks as like, I'm calling them like Nana stacks. They're almost like stockpiles of they're of ways to kind of like, these are all of the weapons I have, you know, to sort of protect myself. And so in some ways they're like metaphors, but I also find that they're visually extremely interesting. And I kind of happened upon it by accident. I was painting just singular blankets, and throughout my I've been slowly collecting blankets. My grandmother had passed away, so I inherited a couple. But I had them sort of just stored on a chair in my studio just to kind of keep them like off of the couch and off of the floor. And I was looking at them and the light was sort of hitting it. And I was like, wow, that's like gorgeous how like the patterns are juxtaposed together and how each form is something extremely different from the other. Like it has, you know, some forms have more wear and some are look more new. Some are really like almost ugly and some are really gorgeous. So looking at them together as sort of like a stockpile, as a way to kind of almost like an arsenal to kind of protect ourselves. I was really kind of struck by that.
I hadn't, we don't have to, this is a rabbit hole, but I hadn't before realized, or put together the connection between Nick Cave's sound suits and your work. But now that you're saying, like, you know, just them having this appearance of layering to keep you safe. And I don't know, it just reminded me of a lot of his work, and particularly the sound suits, which is, you know, again, a rabbit hole we don't have to go down, but I just wanted to make that connection.
So like, I'm trying to create, like, I think I achieve this to varying degrees of success. But, you know, I think of, you know, in some ways in our homes, especially as mothers, we kind of create these like protected frat like worlds. But I am trying to expose maybe some fragility and vulnerability in that as well. And I think my work is going to develop in that direction. You know, in some ways, if you look at my work, you might catch some of that with how in the dark areas, and also how the threads of some of the quilts are like really kind of falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to kind of go down that route a little bit more.
Definitely. So can you talk a little more about your process? I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you paint from photographs. So are you kind of setting up, you know, like a traditional still life painter, are you setting up, for example, the chair with the stack, taking a photograph of it, and then, you know, that's the painting that you work on. Talk a little bit about that. And also, I would love to know, I have this image of you, like, you know, just getting in your car and going to every thrift store in Southern New Hampshire and trying to find cool blankets. Like, I've always wondered if you sourced your material like by thrifting, or
if,
you know,
only
talk to me
I
about
had
that.
Time to, if only I, know, I had right? time to do that. Like, I would love to spend like just a weekend driving around finding amazing, you know, blankets. But it was kind of like, I kind of happened upon a blanket collection a bit by accident. So my grandmother passed away. I had some Afghans that I remember as a young child, like laying under, like she, you know, if we ever slept over her house, like there was one in particular that had some pink on it that I was like, this is mine. Mm-hmm. And so when she passed away, I was like, I have to get the blanket. Like that was first on my list. When we had gone through her house and, you know, slowly, like people are like, oh, hey, I have some blankets that you can borrow, or I would be at a thrift store and I would pick one up. And then just recently, since I've been painting, I'm actually working towards a show of just my work, solo show in New York. And I realized I need more material. So I've been scrounging eBay. And like, there's actually a grannyblankets.com, which I know, is it crazy? Like, I'm like, oh, okay. There's like a website for this, but really like I do haggle some people down. And you know, some of the things that I can find though, it's like, I have some amazing quilts that people just probably spent years creating and they're selling it on eBay. It's like, you know, $30. Like, and I'm thinking to myself, this alone is a piece of art. Mm-hmm. And that, who knows, maybe it was made by one person, maybe several people. But they hold so much history. And, you know, that's another beautiful part of what I do is that it's sometimes just like, it's almost like it's opening up a box and finding an amazing textile in there that somebody created, you know, and it's being like, oh my gosh, like, look how beautiful this is. And it is sort of like that joy of finding a cool thing, you know, at a thrift store. Mm-hmm. So a bit about my process. I recently taught a class at the Institute about using photographic reference. So I do work from photographs, but it's really important to take my own. And I learned that kind of the hard way, kind of like after I graduated with my BFA while I was traveling. I didn't have a lot of references. So I used to paint from old childhood photographs. Mm. But after a while, I realized, you know, the film itself, you know, was, you know, printed from like, you know, during the 80s or 90s. There was just really low quality. So when I eventually got my own studio, I got a DSLR camera and I started taking my own references. And I would say ever since then, I feel like my work, it's been very freeing, sort of being able to source my own material and really being involved in that process and not relying on somebody else's image. Yeah. So I do set up my still lives, and it's a combination of painting from life and a photograph. You know, if I want to change part of the composition, like I have the actual textile in front of me so I can, you know, change the form a little bit or switch up the patterning if I, you know, kind of want to change kind of just how like the colors are arranged on the painting. And like I can go on in depth about how I get to my finished result. But it's a lot of layers and a lot of time.
Yeah, that's, well, keep doing those process videos on your Instagram, because I think that, you know, is just a fun way to, you know, see where you're at in a painting. And you know, that,
and I could spend an hour talking about that, but I will spare everybody.
Yes. No, we need to get to, you know, the big B word, balance. Like, how, so I know right now correct me if I'm wrong, you're not working an 8-to-5, but you are teaching and then pursuing painting, right?
Yeah. I was teaching like one class a semester. So it was actually in community education at the art college.
Okay.
And I also during one semester, I was teaching out of my studio to about 3 or 4 students.
Okay, great.
And that was a really nice way for me to kind of reinforce some of the things that I do in my studio. And also, it gave me a lot of like confidence, mm-hmm. That like, oh yeah, you know, I do have a lot to offer. Just the experience that I've had and the hours that I've put into it and what I've learned, I can share with others. And that's been really great to, kind of realize.
Yeah.
But recently I, like this semester, I'm not teaching. I'm just trying to balance a little bit more, knowing that I'm going to have more of a workload in this next year. I'm very careful about what I take on. My time right now, I have 2 young daughters. Very young. I have an almost 2-year-old. She'll be 2 in March, Vivian. And Lucia, my oldest, is going to be 5 next week.
Okay. Yeah.
That's young. you know, I think that I try to keep things into perspective. You know, this year in particular is very, very challenging because Lucia's preschool schedule, I can't think of a better word. It's a biatch. Mm. It's just very difficult because it's like almost 3 hours in the middle of the day. And so it disrupts my time. And mm-hmm. one thing that I've learned, especially after having especially 2 kids, is that I need to be able to learn to work in short spurts. I don't have these luxurious sort of all day painting sessions where I lose track of time and I forget to eat and like I'm in flow. You know, that happens a little bit. And especially if I'm making big decisions, like I really do need that time in that space. Mm-hmm. But because of like my process, it's very time consuming. And like, I might be working on a section of a blanket and then it kind of becomes very mechanical and I can put on a podcast and I can work for a couple hours and then I can go and like make dinner. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to kind of break up my schedule, my painting schedule in ways where I'm using the time that I have.
Right.
It's not comfortable at first, but you know, you just have to learn to adapt.
Are you enjoying the newly launched Artist Mother podcast? I hope you're loving it. And if you are, consider supporting our work by spreading the news and sharing this podcast with your friends and social media followers. Please check out our website, www.artistmotherpodcast.com, for more information. And while you're there, stop by our shop where we have brand new, comfy and cute Artist Mother t-shirts for sale. You can also find us on Instagram at Artist Mother Podcast. Can you talk to us a little more about the logistics of, like, are you only painting, you know, when your kids are at a daycare or school, or do you have
most of the time?
So the rest of the time you're kind of responsible for them. And
so on Mondays, my husband takes my oldest to the local YMCA. So he has time with her. And then our youngest during that time goes to, there's a home daycare in our town right down the road from us. There's a wonderful woman and she only watches a few children. And so we've really lucked out mm-hmm. finding she's almost like another mom to them, but she's like a very good babysitter that like really cares for them. And we really trust her. And that trust is so important. She's flexible and, you know, it fits within our budget. But I know that there are so many parents out there that are struggling finding quality care for mm-hmm. their children that is affordable. And, you know, it is a true miracle that we found her. A friend had suggested it, and we just lucked out, but, she's been great. So we do, you know, use some childcare during the week and my daughter has preschool. And then there are 2 days in the week that I am with them all day. Mm. You posted something on your Instagram. I believe it was like yesterday or mm-hmm. the day before about those times that you have with your children are not always your favorite.
Yes.
And they can be very challenging. And, you know, it is true. And I try to put into perspective, like, this is my time and I need to make it quality time, but I'm also still trying to do other things. Right. And it's so, it is really all about, you know, balancing and just staying present.
Yes.
It's been,
takes a lot of focus,
a lot of focus. And you know what? It doesn't work out every day.
Right. It doesn't.
And that's okay. You're not going to be perfect. And there are, like, yesterday I had a really frustrating day. Like, for some reason they were just fussy. Like, I'm just like, what's wrong with everybody? And it, you know, I started getting fussy because I was being yelled at all day. So I'm just, you know, some days are hard. But I know that tomorrow, like, I'm going to blink and, you know, my daughter is going to be, like, in school from, like, 8:30 to 3, and I'm going to miss those times. So I try to keep that into perspective.
Yes. Okay, so I want to shift gears and talk about this painting that you won that big prize, the Best in Show prize for, and in particular because, like, Cindy, if I could pick a painting that, you know, would be the icon for Artist Mother Podcast, like, it would be this painting. It's so,
oh my God,
gorgeous and beautiful. And we'll be linking it when we air the episode so everybody can see what we're talking about. But it's a self-portrait of you nursing your daughter. I'm assuming it's your younger daughter, Vivian.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a recent painting, and you have, I believe, an Afghan or some sort of crocheted blanket, kind of loosely wrapped around you. So talk to me about that painting. I know you won Best in Show. And I just have to bring this up, like, when you were sharing about this, you wrote that this painting came from the purest place of my heart, which I just love. You know, I can just feel what you're feeling in that when I hear those words and look at the painting. So first, like, how did it feel to win that prize? No, and do you feel like it was, like, a sweeter deal because just of the content of that painting and that is your life right now?
Yeah. You know, it's like, so, like, that painting, you know, it was for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't for a gallery. I was working with a couple galleries at the time, but I was sort of, like, in a moment where I had just had my second child. I hadn't really made any other commitments. I was working with a couple galleries that were so understanding of where I was in my life, you know, my growing family, and they were really respectful of my time. And I had, like, a baby who slept all the time. I mean, it was so different from my first. My first was so fussy, and it really threw me into sort of this identity crisis where I felt like I didn't have any autonomy anymore. Mm. And that, like, is actually really first when I actually started researching, the artist mother, artist in residency in motherhood.
Yes.
By Lenka Clayton.
Yeah.
And it, just because, you know, I was trying to figure out a way to work, and I had my second child, and I felt like suddenly, like, I had balance. Like, I was able to be a mom and I was able to be a painter, and my second was able to sleep in her bouncer in the studio, and I would just work on this painting during her naps. And I know it sounds like a fantasy, but, like, she really did sleep for, like, sometimes 3 hours. And I did this painting for myself, and I wanted to sort of create an image of an empowered, maybe slightly worn down, but true sort of image of myself as a mom. You know, breastfeeding was really challenging with my first, and it came a little bit easier with my second. And I felt like I had accomplished something as a mom, and I wanted to, like, really express that in this painting. And I was thinking about, like, Renaissance depictions of, like, a Madonna and child. But the issue with a lot of those paintings is that, like, the mother is so passive, you know, obviously because it's the Virgin Mary. But I wanted to create a more empowered, like, yeah, I got this, you know, just with how, you know, my arms are, kind of, like, strongly holding the child.
So strong. They're so strong.
And so I was thinking a lot about that composition and that like historical composition of like the triangle with the base being a strong foundation. Mm. And I was like trying to get that across in this painting. And, you know, it did feel special, like knowing that it was such a very true and honest, loving piece that really wasn't meant to be anything deep. It was just the pure love of my children. And also my ability to breastfeed my kids, like that bond is so powerful. So the painting is called Lineage because it's like being able to kind of like pass on like life to your child. And I, you know, of course there's a symbolism of the quilt that's in the painting and maybe, you know, that's been passed down towards me and I can pass that down something towards my daughter.
Right.
So yeah, it felt really good winning that award. It was a shock. And I can talk a little bit about how that came to be, but, I went to the award ceremony, very last minute. I wasn't going to go. The show was in Wisconsin. This was a juried show that, a friend of mine that I met at another opening, this is like a long, weird connection. She won the show last year. She won the Best in Show prize. And I was thinking to myself, you know, next year I want to enter that show. So I did. And, you know, a couple days before, a fellow artist that got into the show talked me into going. She was like, you know what, just do it. Come out to Wisconsin. And I was like, sure, why not go to Wisconsin in October? I don't have kids or anything. But I did go. Like, I was like, you know what, I have to do this. So I went to the award ceremony, met the juror, and I was totally floored that I won Best in Show, and my piece was on the catalog cover too. Mm. And a lot of people connected with it, and I think there were amazing paintings in that show, and I'm just really honored.
Well, I hope I get to see it in person someday. Where is it currently?
It's actually currently at the museum, and it's going to be shipped to my gallery in New York, which might be a good segue.
Yes, that was my next question. So I would love for you to talk about, I know you recently started working with Bernarducci Gallery in New York City, which, you know, that's a big deal. To say that you have a New York gallery is kind of pretty great. But I also know that as we started this podcast with, like, this is not by chance. Like, a lot of hard work has gone into this moment. And, you know, I respect like how you're willing
it's
to.
It's a balance of luck and hard work too. Yes. Like, you know, so.
Well, talk to us about how it unfolded.
Yeah. So how it came to be is the juror of this show in Wisconsin is Frank Bernarducci. So he owns the gallery in New York City. He actually a year ago messaged me on Instagram and said, hey, I really like, you know, these paintings, you know, how much are they going for? Where can I see your work? And I was like, okay, so like that's a big deal. Like,
this is before the show.
A year before the show. And so I kind of had remembered that. He said, cool, I'll check out your work. And nothing really came to be from that. Mm-hmm. I've been showing locally in New England, and it's a very specific market here. You know, I show in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is on the coast of New Hampshire, and Cape Cod. So my work has been selling and moving, and I'm very thankful for that. But I've never really been able to earn the kind of money that I want to for a painting that takes as much time as it does.
Right.
So being able to show in New York is amazing. And, you know, I went to the show, I met Frank, and not only did I win Best in Show, but Frank's like, you know, I'm really interested in your still lives. And I don't know if you remember, I messaged you a year ago and I was like,
of course I remember.
Of course I remember, thinking in my head, like,
how does he remember?
Yeah. How does he remember? And he's like, I want to give you a show. And I was like,
okay. Cindy.
So he said that. And I was already just totally like not in my body from winning Best in Show. And then he offered that to me kind of casually, like, and it wasn't processing. And so the next morning, he was like, can we just go out to breakfast? Let's just talk about, I want to talk about your work more. So we did. And he really did offer me a show because he did it again. So
that's great.
Yeah. He's like, I kind of feel like I'm talking you into this. Like, and I was like, well, it's just a lot to process. Yeah. So yeah, that's how it came to be. And, you know, it was sort of by chance because I submitted to that show, but I guess it's a really good lesson that get yourself out there, you know,
absolutely. Like
get a good presence. You know, I really value Instagram, but get a good presence, online and really, you know, apply to whatever, because you don't really know what's going to come from it.
For whatever reason, this, made me want to segue into this. I would love to hear you, just talk for a few minutes about, you know, social media and how it influences your art practice. And, because I feel like this question is connected, is there anything that you see other artists doing that you're like, oh, like,
yes.
Can you tease that out a little bit?
Sure. So I'm a representational painter and I love painting the human form, and any sort of painting that objectifies especially women, because women are often painted for whatever reason, it really pisses me off. Like, you know, it is not art if you are like sexualizing, you know, you're basically making that model an object and not a person. And I don't, just because that person may be beautiful or you're, you know, like attracted to a certain, you know, part of her, you know, it doesn't elevate it in any way just by painting it and splashing it, you know,
right
across the internet. Another thing that I really hate is when artists, like, and it's actually especially like female artists in particular, like they kind of post sexy pictures of themselves with their work.
Yes.
Like what the, I mean, what are you selling?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, give yourself some more respect. It really bothers me. And I am also really bothered by those are the things that get so many likes or so many comments. And it's like, why are you doing what you're doing?
Right.
And that's the bad thing about Instagram. It's like, it's a great way to market yourself, but it's still sort of this like cesspool of like, you know, just, there's a lot of like, you know, sex and like other things on there, you know, just quick likes, things that like, you know, people can, you know, be drawn to really quickly. But, you know, I'm trying to get to something that's more, has more integrity than that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I'm not going to post a picture of myself and my work. But I'm definitely not going to do it with my butt hanging out.
Right. No, I think that's, I applaud you for taking a risk and saying that, because I think that's something that, you know, I see it too. And I'm just like,
put me on
dang,
record
like,
saying
girl,
that.
What are, like, what are you, like, exactly what you said, like, what are you selling, you know?
What are you selling?
And
I mean,
and
why
what does
are
that
you
say about how, not only what you value, how you value yourself, but like how you value your work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have to, I mean, your work should speak for itself.
Exactly.
And it's great if you're proud of what you do. And I'm sure will be posting a picture of myself with my work at my opening next week in New York City, because I'm going to be so excited to be there. But,
it's different.
It's very different.
Yeah, you can tell the motivation. So
yeah,
I think that's a great thing to bring up. Okay, one more question, and then I'm going to lead us into our final five. So
sure.
I feel like this is a pretty obvious question to ask you, because, you know, your work is very connected to feminism, to your, you know, your identity as a woman and as a mother. But I would just love to hear, Cindy, how do you feel like specifically your journey as a mother influences your journey as an artist?
I feel like I at least can speak about my process. Like, I don't feel like it has changed the things I want to paint. I mean, with the exception, I think, of that self-portrait that I did, like, because that really was truly for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's great. Maybe if somebody wants to buy it and have it in their collection, but like getting that out was very important for me. But the things that I'm drawn to, like, you know, I talked a lot about symbols of comfort and security and sort of exposing how vulnerable we are in the world. Like, that has never changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm before I was a mom, it's been like, I actually see evidence of that in my work even 20 years ago. Like, it's crazy. And I am drawn towards that. It's come out in different ways, but it's there. But I do, it has affected my process, and it has, I value my time so much more. And I've learned to adapt. So that, like, being a mom has taught me to not waste time spending time painting things that I don't want to paint. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to be spending time in the studio, it better be something that I want to do. Absolutely. So I've had to sever some relationships, like gallery relationships specifically, where I felt like they weren't quite respecting the things that I, in the directions that I wanted to go in. Whether it's like they're not paying me on time too, like things like that, which I'm just like, I don't have time for that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I got to cut that off because what I do has so much value. And also it's time away from my children. So if I'm spending that time away, like let's say they're at daycare and I have a day in the studio, which is gold, then it better be towards something that I want to do. And I want to be paid for my time doing it. So, I just value what I do even more.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to close the interview with 5 quick questions. You're welcome to answer these as briefly as you would like, and then we'll wrap up. So I would love to know, Cindy, what are you currently reading?
I love to cook. you also posted something.
I love to cook too.
you posted something on your Instagram about how it's like, it's another way of creating. Like it's another sort of art form. And, you know, I'm not reading anything really deep or life-changing right now, but I am reading a lot about food. And I am sort of like trying to switch up like eating more plant-based.
Oh, yes. I saw you post about that.
Yeah. So that's like, great. I'm reading some books on like eating vegan, and I am in no way trying to be free of anything. I am just trying to like maybe make some responsible changes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like right now I have the energy to do that. Like I just came down from a really big show. A really big painting I was working on. And I just kind of want to spend time thinking about the things I'm putting in my mouth, because mm-hmm. for a couple months there, I was like eating scraps of like my kids' food. Yeah. Cause like, I was so busy. I'm just like throwing whatever in my mouth, and I just want to be more aware of what I'm eating. So, so I'm reading books on eating plant-based and,
Well, I might send you a few suggestions. So
please do.
Yeah, I will. Okay. What about, if you have time, do you watch TV? Like, are there shows maybe you and your husband kind of watch together? That's what we do. And what are those things?
So we haven't a lot recently. But I did just watch, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Oh, so good.
Samin Nosrat. It's amazing. Yes. Like it is just such a visually like, and just like, I can almost sort of like, it's just a sensory experience, mm-hmm. like watching that documentary. So yeah, it's been a lot about food.
that's great.
Maybe I'm just really hungry.
Yes. Maybe that's it. okay. So after your show opening next week, you need to take a food vacation.
I need to take a food vacation. Yes. Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, just in New Hampshire, you can go to some of your favorite places and get some nourishment.
Yes.
Okay. So how about if you had a whole weekend by yourself, no kids, no responsibilities, what do you think you'd do?
The answer to that is probably embarrassing, but I think I would start off by cleaning. Nice. Because I really can't help myself. I feel like that's a nice way to reset my space. I would clean my studio. I would kind of go through my brushes, figuring out which ones I can repair, which ones I should toss, figure out the things that I need to like buy to kind of like fill in the gaps, and kind of prep my studio for a new body of work. Like I'm going to have a solo show in New York City in probably a year and a half. And so I would like to kind of make a project sort of management, calendar for myself to really,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, to kind of like set some goals. Like I would love to kind of just spend some time alone plotting out and scheming.
That's the kind of thing that falls to the wayside, you know? It's like,
yeah, I don't have time to do that. I have time to, you know, do the things that are right in front of my face or that I have to do.
Right.
But that's kind of what I would spend my time on. And then maybe like have some chocolate or do some yoga.
Or what's your beverage of choice? What would you indulge in?
My fourth question. I don't even know. I mean, like water, probably.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Boring.
I'm so boring. Maybe some like organic wine or something.
Okay. There you go. Spice it up a little.
Yeah. I'll spice it up.
Okay. So I love closing with this question because I feel like it's so important to, you know, just acknowledge that as artists and moms, there's a lot that we're passionate about and that we want to do. And usually we have some help, whether it's a mentor that's guided us or a spouse or, you know, whoever it is. So I like closing with giving you the opportunity to just share, you know, a shout out to someone who supports you.
I am very thankful for my parents because I was raised in a household where it was told to me when I was younger, if you believe in yourself and you really kind of, I don't know, like believe in the things that you're doing, then only good things will come from that. And I heard that again and again and again as a young child. And I think that has a really powerful effect on development. Mm-hmm. I know that there are adults that are in the world right now that did not hear that. And that I don't take that for granted. So I know that that had a huge sort of influence in building my self-confidence. And also, I'm so thankful for my husband, Peter. Like, he's been just, always there for me. I've had some kind of rough moments where maybe I made a painting and I suddenly am doubting, being an artist at all, being like, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm just, what am I chasing here? And he was always always would say the right things and remind me of the value that I have in the work that I've put in. So he's been just a cheerleader and never has doubted what I'm doing. And I am so thankful for that.
Cindy, you are so inspiring. I specifically love the way that you're willing to talk about your value as a person, as a human being, and your value as an artist. I think it's just really refreshing to hear, someone claim their space. And yeah. I really appreciate you doing that and just leading the way. Obviously, I'm a big fan of your work and can't wait to share it. So just wanted to say thanks for taking the time. And I know everybody's going to love listening to your interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm a big fan of your work too.
Thanks, Cindy. The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.